This week's edition of The Love Know-It-Alls is sponsored by our friends over at Movement Watches, who have a great offer for all of your Valentine's Day shopping. They've got 15% off when you go to their website at mvmt.com/RHAP to find that link for 15% off. Valentine's Day is coming up, and it's hard to find that perfect gift, but Movement makes it easy. A lot of people procrastinate, wait till the last minute. Don't do it because you know what time it is. You didn't even get that watch yet. You know Movement from their watches. They're back at it and have added fashion-forward bracelets to their collection to fall in love with. Their designs like classic cuffs, trendy barbed wire with finishes like gold, rose gold, matte black, you name it. And they start at just $40. You can't beat that. And they didn't just stop there for Valentine's Day. Movement has beautiful custom Valentine's Day gift boxes featuring a watch and a bracelet to make this Valentine's Day win super easy. So don't end up in the doghouse this Valentine's Day. Get that certain someone something special and save 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to Movement. That's MVMT.com/RHAP to get that link for 50% off. That's MVMT.com/RHAP. Join the movement.
Hey, did you hear Robin Steven have a new podcast?
Wait, you mean those guys from Know-It-Alls?
Yep, now they're Love Know-It-Alls.
No way.
Yeah, and they need a new theme song.
I'm pretty sure we could take care of that for them.
Let's do it.
The hottest guys around, they're about to break it down, like they scored a million times before.
Oh. Wait, I thought I was calling into Loveline?
Nope.
The Love Know-It-All. The Love Know-It-All.
That's right. The Love Know-It-Alls are back once again. Thanks,
Love
P and
you,
Steve.
Babe.
Love you, babe.
Yes, yes. And here we are, Stephen Fishback.
I'm so impressed by your timing, just like the way you seem like you're having a conversation with them.
With people that are on recording, yes.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
Well,
actually, this is a recording.
Yes.
I've recorded my part, and Rob is just filling in the
blanks. Black Mirror episode, yeah. All right, so Stephen, how are you doing this week?
I'm good. It's cold out here in the Northeast. I'm eagerly anticipating the live non-Love Know-It-Alls in April.
Yes, yes, coming up in Boston, Massachusetts. But we have so much more to get to between now and then, including our conversation with today's guest. And I'm so excited to have this man back with us here on the podcast. Here he is. I'm sure that he is a oracle of wisdom on dating and relationships. The freakiest freak and the purple pants badass, Bryce Isaiah. Bryce!
Man.
Hey.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Oh, are you your own theme song?
You better believe it.
That's amazing. I have to share a theme song.
Yes. Bryce. How are you?
I am wonderful. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. And so, full disclosure, we are recording this on Saturday morning, and tomorrow, Bryce's Philadelphia Eagles
will
reign supreme.
Yes, you already know. Let Jeremy and Rodney know, okay?
Yeah.
The Eagles are taking it home.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is good advice because Bryce is putting himself out there where he's not being afraid for when, you know, if the Patriots win, then people are going to be all over him on Monday.
Don't play that. I am swiping right for the Eagles, baby. Come on.
Yes. Yes.
We got this.
Steven, the Eagles are a professional football team.
Oh, and that's what we call soccer over here.
Yes,
right?
Yes. And tomorrow and on Sunday, a lot of people are going to get together and watch a football match.
Why?
It's the last one.
That last one ever. Finally, our culture is free.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're very so excited to have you here, Bryce, because when we first started brainstorming, okay, who would be good guests to have on this show to talk with us about dating and relationship questions? You were really one of the top names on the list. So very happy that this worked out. Do you consider yourself to be somebody who gives good advice in this area?
Well, I feel like from my experience with my own, I feel like I'm the love janitor. Like, you know what I mean? I clean up the messes. So yes, I'm the love janitor. So I'm here to help clean up, mop these messes and get y'all together, have that floor shining again.
Are they your messes or other people's messes you clean up?
So I'm an expert at cleaning up my own messes, but I clean up other people's messes. I'm constantly, somebody texting me, and then I have to, you know, insert my love wisdom and help them out. Now, full disclaimer, ain't nobody get married or engaged yet, but I mean, we're working. It's a work in progress.
Yes.
Wow.
Talk to us a little bit in terms of what's your status right now? Are you single? Are you seeing anybody?
So I am currently single. I would somewhat say like a long-term friendship relationship. Like, my partner was in New York, and so we were together for maybe like 3.5 years. We're still not technically apart, but we're not really together. And I just feel like he's kind of scared to commit fully. I feel like we were really good at long distance, but when we're like in the same city, it tends to kind of like fall apart. So I'm like a long distance connoisseur.
Yeah.
And do you actively date in the meantime, since you're not like 100% together, or is this sort of, that's your main thing?
So, I mean, we are allowed to see other people. Like, I mean, I'm not in an exclusive relationship. So, I mean, I have actively gone on dates, but they don't seem to work out as well as I would like them to. But I'm not in any rush or any, like, you know, being with the freakiest freak, it's a lot of pressure out here. So a lot of these guys are so nervous. They don't know what to do back then, you know. So I just take my time. And I really feel like when the timing is right, whether it would be with my partner in New York or whether it would be with the love of my life in California or whether it would be with Nick Foles, who's going to get us home for the Super Bowl. I'm open to the possibilities.
And at what point in the sort of dating process do you mention that you are a purple pants badass and the freakiest freak?
So I don't at all. So like, because I don't. So like the last couple of people, like the last date I went on, you know, in today's day and age, you got to Google and do your research. So I like went on a date and like this, I guess the person like had all of these, like they did their research and they had all these facts. So we're like at dinner and, you know, I'm like, you know, got my little glass of wine, eating my little appetizers. And they're like, so literally their words I came up with, so what's the freakiest freak? And I was like, yes. And I'm like, what the hell? He was like, I just was making sure you weren't into like some sex trying. I'm like, oh my God. He was like, I Googled you, and like the first thing that came up was like freakiest freak. I'm like, I don't know if that's a plus or a negative when you Google my name.
I don't know. I guess it could go either way.
I mean, it could go either way depending on like how I'm feeling. But I mean, for that particular purpose, that date was kind of like a dud. He was a little weird. But I mean, I really feel like it's about putting yourself out there and going on like different dates and meeting different people. Because if you don't experience horrible dates, how will you truly know when you get that golden date and you like, Jesus Christ? It's all about putting yourself out there.
Do you use the apps?
So I don't know why. For me, I feel like in like the gay community, apps are like so taboo because.
Oh.
And yes, let's talk about it. Like really, like in the gay community, a lot of like the apps that are out there for dating are like subsequently like sex apps. And I'm not even about that life. I really don't try to like indulge in like the apps, but I am like on Tinder and I was on Bumble. And so I like the last couple of my dates have been on like those two apps. But I'm a talkative person, as y'all may or may not know. So I generally meet people when I go out, like literally like the supermarket, going to a bar, and just like my personality tends to draw them in.
I didn't even know that you could do Bumble for a gay relationship. I thought it was that the women picking people and they're initiating. Is that did I have that all wrong?
So I believe in the gay version of it is like if you guys both swipe up, you have like a certain amount of time for someone to say hello, and if you don't say hello, then it goes away.
Wow, that boy Bryce, that you're. Blowing our minds already this morning.
The pressure is on.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see how good you are with some of these questions that we have from our listeners. Okay. So first one, first question off the bat, I think this is a good one, and it's a voicemail. Okay. And this is a voicemail from one of our listeners, and his name is Hank.
Hey, what's up, Rob, Steven, and the Purple Pants Badass? This is Hank, not a Shakespearean name, just Hank. I got a quick question for y'all. If you break up and you're now single, do you delete your prior old photos from Instagram or Twitter or Facebook of your ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend? Because some people are saying they're single, and you go through their Instagram and they got like 15 pictures with the ex guy, and you're like, this girl ain't single. It's a lot. Thank you.
All right. This is a good question. So what is the etiquette here when you are with somebody and then you're no longer with that person? Do you have to scrub your social media, Bryce, and get rid of pictures of that person?
It's a must. Absolutely. I'm 100%. If the relationship is over, I don't need somebody going to my page and seeing me booed up from 4 weeks ago. That, you gotta go. Boop, boop, boop. And if you need to, crop. Okay.
Wow.
Yes, if that outfit is cute and that background is sitting, all you got to do is crop. But I am definitely a fan of you need to get rid of those ex photos. Now, I'm not saying going back 5 years, but definitely like within the last 6 months, they got to go.
Would you Photoshop in someone else's face onto an ex?
I've only done that with Rob once, and I just wanted to make somebody jealous, if that's what you're referring to, Steven. That was one time, and thanks for bringing it up. My God. Yeah.
Steven, I'd love to know from you, have you ever done this? Have you ever then said, okay, I'm not with this person anymore, let me get rid of the photo of them?
No, I do think it's probably the right idea, but there seems something a little, I guess I would do it if I had a ton of pictures of myself with someone. I mean, it's a little bit weird. You know, obviously I had an enormous amount of pictures of me and Courtney because we were dating right when I was going to all of these Survivor events.
At my peak
in terms of like hitting all the Survivor charity
in
events.
In terms of 100%, like everything your peak.
I definitely, you know, I feel like I'm at my peak now, Rob.
No.
Oh, wow. This is going to become a traumatic conversation. So I didn't delete those photos. You know, because they were like, there were also, you know, a million photos of me and Eliza in there too. You know, it didn't feel like it was me just being lovey-dovey with one person. But I do think if there's just like a ton of photos of you and that one significant other, you definitely want to delete.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting dilemma because that I think that there were pictures of you. It's almost like that it is that you're scrubbing your experiences and you removing them. And I think that when you go back and look at like, okay, well, what did I do a year ago? What did I do 2 years ago? Now, just because you're not with that person, those things don't exist. Bryce, do you do it more because you don't want new people to see you with the old person, or you want to really send a message to the old person?
I think it's a combination of both. Plus, I, for myself, I'm like a out of mind, out of state type of person. So it's like, I don't want to scroll through my like timeline and be like, oh my God, look at that. Like, I was so in love. And then you're more inclined to, if you go out or you have a couple of drinks or you do whatever that you do, you're more inclined to drunk text that person or like late at night be like, hey, I miss you. And it's none of that going on. So I feel like a good rule of thumb is, and actually listening to Steven, so if we have group photos, they can stay. But if it's like me and you on the beach in Cabo with a margarita, that has to absolutely go. But here's what you can listen. You can screenshot them so you have them in your phone.
Okay.
But I think publicly they need to come down. So when you want to just scroll through, you know, just scroll through your photos privately, and you can be like, oh, what a good time. I need to move on. But I definitely think, they got to come down. I don't want to look at them. I don't want my future partner to look at them. And I want your ass, when you go to my page, to be like, oh my God, let me see what he's doing. Where's my photo? Where's Scruffy the dog? Yeah, bitch, it's gone. You're done. You're out of here. So that's how I feel. Like, I really feel like you got to move on. And the first step of moving on is deleting those photos. But I really feel like nowadays people be so quick to put up photos. Like, I get pissed off when, like, you know, this person is like a serial dater. And like this week she's like with a new guy and she posting up the photos and you're like, oh, and then 2 weeks later, it ain't no photos. I feel like I'm invested in their relationship. I'm in that relationship with you. So you can't just, you gotta tell me what happened. Girl, what's up?
You have a responsibility to your social media followers.
So that's why you need to be careful of these photos that you put out, because I need to know what happened. When you cheat, he cheat, when he wasn't for you, when he was with your brother. Like, I need to know. So I really feel like you need to be careful when you put these photos up, because your followers, like, you know, I'm invested. I want to know what happened. So I really think you need to post scalingly. So that way, when it's time to scale back, it's an easy 1, 2, 3 delete.
But are you worried at all that there's something that seems a little bit petty about deleting a ton of photos of somebody? You know, like, you know that other person is over there and is, you know, just appalled that you deleted all of the photos of them.
Steven, do you know who you're talking to? You're on the phone with Petty Betty. Yes, that's petty. And yes, that's partly why I'm doing it. Boop. Yes. But I mean, I at some point, I do feel like, Steven, you have to be petty towards yourself. And that's like, you're no longer... Yeah. The responsibility of you and that other person's feeling is over. So you can't live your life thinking like, oh my God, I got it. It's done. Goodbye. Let me get the mop because Janitor Bryce is duty.
No, that took me a long time to figure out, just the idea that, you know, staying in touch with your exes, you know, I really believe for a long time that, you know, I just, you know, this was someone who was a significant part of my life. And even if we had decided not to be together anymore, that didn't mean that, you know, they were suddenly meaningless to me. And so I really put in a lot of an emotional and logistical energy to kind of maintaining those relationships. And it really is not, now I'm of the opinion that it's not that great an idea. Like, I wish I, you know, I think it's a lot easier to, and it makes, you know, you're right. You've got to be petty to yourself. It's just a lot easier to kind of cut those off.
Let's get into our next question here today. And this is from one of our listeners. Garrett wants to know where the line is between assertive and pushy, Bryce. So Garrett is a guy and he's been texting with this other guy that he met on Tinder. They've been talking for 2 months, but they never met in person. He always keeps telling him that they should go on a date, but the guy says he's too busy working and is too tired when his shift ends, or when Garrett asks him about the weekends, he ignores his texts. Garrett doesn't want to be too pushy because the guy is saying that he's busy, but he doesn't want to feel like he's being played with. He really likes this guy, but he also has pride, and he doesn't want to feel like he's begging. It doesn't help that Garrett is unemployed, that he says he has too much free time, and that makes him get too much in his own head about things. His question is, where do I draw the line between flirting with someone and being a creep who keeps asking someone that might not be interested out? Even though the guy is telling him he's interested, it's hard to believe someone is that busy for 2 months straight. Love the podcast. Bryce is my father.
Hey, we up in here. Yes. So can I respond?
Of course.
Hey, Tinder, what's up? So here's like a couple of rules I feel like, especially in the gay community, but just even to heterosexuals. When you're dating on Tinder, like my couple of rules you have to follow. Like, so I feel like 2 months is a perfect time span for you to be on Tinder to talk to somebody. Because generally, like in the gay community, I keep referring to the gay community because that's all I'm generally familiar with. It's either like they're gonna wanna meet and hook up. So that's, you have to get rid of those people out the way. So I really feel like a great time span to talk to somebody, 1 to 2 months. Here's the thing though. It's a lot of catfish out there. So that he doesn't wanna meet 2 months, that's like ding, ding, boom, boom, ba, boom. That's a red flag or a yellow, blue, green red flag on the play. And so that is a little concerning. So a midway segue that I will offer to him is y'all need to FaceTime. Like, hop out, hey, can we FaceTime? Like, so at least that you're getting that personal connection. And if he said he's too tired for FaceTime, you got to let it go because he's not really interested in you. And then I also have a personal rule that, like, if I feel like, ooh, I'm looking at, like, you know, like these photos of somebody that I'm like extremely attracted to and I'm like talking and I don't feel like they're as interested, when they send you a text, don't respond for 2 days. If they don't hit you back in 2 days, they're not that interested and you can let it go. If they hit you back within that 2 day time span and they're like, hey, what's going on? Did you get my message? Then you know that there's like some attraction. And I feel like that's kind of like you being more so passive aggressive, but you don't seem like you're being too assertive or a creep. Like if you hit them up and like you're constantly feeling like you're being the assertive one you want to meet and they're not responding back to you, you hit that fallback button and give it 2 days. And if they don't really respond to you in 2 days, y'all been talking for 2 months and you clearly don't see that there's initiative, you got to let it go.
Rob, what's your perspective here?
I mean, I'm a big believer in that anybody who really wants something is going to be at least somewhat interested in getting it. And I really don't feel great about that this guy is interested in Garrett. And I think that Garrett should start to think about moving on to something else, because no matter what it is, if there is something that you are interested in, I think that you would be a little more interested, especially at the start of a new relationship, in, you know, trying to return the interest that the other person is showing to you. And so whatever the reason may be, I just think that this guy is stringing Garrett along, Bryce.
I agree. And maybe he should get off of Tinder and get on Indeed and put that resume out there and see if, you know, see what the job's looking like, because you want to stay with relationship. I think, you know, it's important for you to focus on yourself as well, too. And it might be a lot of the times I find that people put so much energy in somebody else and forget about themselves. Boo, you better upload that resume to Indeed and see what Indeed talking about.
Mm-hmm. I don't know Indeed.
Oh, Bryce loves it.
Indeed, yes, that's how you check your references for your jobs and stuff, you know. So he needs to get on Indeed and post his resume and like see about getting a job and focus more on himself, and then maybe he'll be as equally busy as the next person that he meets. So I think, Garrett, you gotta let him go.
And when you talk about a catfish situation, Bryce, what do you think that could potentially be? That's like maybe a completely different guy who is using those pictures just to try to talk to people.
Absolutely. It's weirdos and creeps and Googles and monsters out there that just use other people's photos for the intent to like harm someone. The intent just because they're lonely and old and live at home with their mom. Like, so there's a whole bunch. So you have to weed these things out within like the first couple of conversations that you talk to, because it's like such a new day and age out here that it's like that's how everyone meets, that's how people get like catfish hurt. So you got to make sure, first of all, your safety is at first. So you need to make sure who you're talking to. And the rule of thumb is if ever I meet someone, which I generally don't, but if we FaceTime, I got screenshot that FaceTime and I got send it to my best friend. So if I go on a date and I don't come back, y'all know who to go to look for.
Wow, it's that extreme. Wow.
I'm just saying, you just never know. And I got cold words. If I, like, I tell my best friend I'm going out on a date, listen, if I text her Apple, that means she called me right away crying and I got to go.
So. Can't you just text her help? Like, do you have to text Apple?
Yeah, text Apple.
The guy grabs the phone, Steven.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah. Steven's dead in the ditch and don't nobody, and he ain't sent Apple, so they all can't come looking for him. But I'm just saying, you just never know what's out there. It's a crazy time out here. So you never can, especially with these apps, you never can be too careful. So it's like, you need to weed out that you're talking to a real person.
All right, Steven, do you want to give us the next question this week?
Kevin wants to swipe everybody. Hi, Rob. I have a question regarding these Tinder Bumble apps after little result the first time around. I've been wanting to get back into these apps, but I find myself maybe a little too picky or anxious to swipe right on some specific people over maybe a bad photo or two. But maybe a new strategy I'm considering is to just swipe right on every account and then see who matches. At this point, I'm more focused on just practicing. As Steven said in an earlier episode, just get around and accept what happens afterward. Should I still prioritize women that I think I may really have a shot with? Or is going more in-depth with anyone who wants to match with me the better option for maybe the first few weeks or months? Thank you very much. Love know-it-alls, Kevin.
Okay. Bryce, what do you think about swiping on everybody?
I mean, I feel like they're like swiping on that's too desperate for me.
It's
me
a lot.
That's a lot. Yes. Like, to me, that there's some underlying issues that, like, I don't know if you're going to get from Tinder or Bumble that, like, I don't know if your self-esteem isn't there, or there's some underlying issues that I feel like you really should work and resolve on yourself, Kevin, before you just go swiping right on everybody. But I really do feel like with anything in life, it's an investment. And so, like, if you really want to put yourself out there and invest in your love life, I believe that on some of these apps, you can pay $9.99 and see who likes you. So therefore, if you don't have to keep swiping right and, you know, breaking your index finger, if you're really putting your time and money into these things, I think on Tinder, you could pay like $9.99 and see everybody that likes you. So that way you can just go right to the honeypot, not that honeypot, but the honeypot of all of the people that are swiping right. Because I don't know, that's like a quantity or quality. Like, I mean, you have to weigh your options out. But I think, Kevin, the best bet for you is if, like, you're really that, I don't want to use the word press, but if you're really that serious about getting out there, then you better pay the extra money and see who likes you, or you better take it to Christian Mingle or Match and really, like, you know, seriously, because I hear, for especially like for heterosexuals, those are the more serious apps that, like, if you're really wanting to take it serious, to go there instead of playing with these free apps. So that's my opinion, Kevin.
I was sort of charmed by Kevin's willingness or openness to sort of just seeing what was out there and seeing who, you know, connected with him and not being super picky about it. I agree that swiping on everybody might not be a great idea, but I sort of love the idea that he could swipe on a lot of people and maybe just, you know, rather than being super, super picky, just swipe on everyone who you'd be willing to go out on a date with. You know, I think maybe two people do get like too picky on these apps, you know, where you're looking for perfection, and you know, Kevin's openness to being surprised, I thought, was a sort of delightful.
And I agree. And I think last year, you know, Francesca, she's like a dating counselor.
Yes.
And like, she used to do these. Yes. She used to do these tweets all the time, and I loved them. And I think one of her tweets was like around last year, Valentine's Day, where she was like, how about this, guys? Be a little less picky. And maybe if you are going after, if we give them a number value, 8, how about trying to drop your standard down to a 5 and just see what happens? And I definitely think that, like, it's openness. And I also feel like some people just don't photograph well. Some people don't, like, know how to take a selfie. And, like, you know, you will be like, oh, I don't like that photo. But you meet with them in person and you're like, oh, my God. But I'm huge on, when I'm on these apps, I love a good bio. Like, oh, that just turned me on. Like, I just love somebody that's, like, clever with the words. Like, it's not just somebody that just says 5'11". Like, girl, bye. Like, I really love a good bio. So, I mean, I definitely think, like, it's important to focus on what they're saying, the content. So you definitely can get a read on these persons. But definitely dropping it down a couple of scales won't hurt you, and see what's out there, because you never know what the connection is in person.
Bryce, give me an example for something you like in the bio. What do you want? A story? Do you want something mysterious?
I like word plays. I like somebody to talk about, like, you know, because I love a good word play. But I like someone to talk just open, like, about themselves, what they do, like, what they're interested in, like, you know, if they're a dog lover, like the name of their dog, like, you know, must love this. And just, like, just a good, well-rounded bio, I just think is so interesting to me, as just opposed to just these two-liners or three-liners, like, new here, just checking and seeing what's around. Boy, if you don't go take a walk around your block and see what's going on down there, like, invest some time in it. But I definitely love someone to talk about, like, who can fit, like, what their favorite show is on Netflix, what they ate last night, their dog's name, and what they do for a living, and like four paragraphs that I think I don't even know what I'm reading, but I have to like read it again and be like, oh, did he just say that? Like, that to me is so interesting. So I can fall in love with a bio and then look at the pictures and be like, ooh, I don't know, but I'm gonna go with the bio. And it's like, you know, so I definitely think it's a lot in the bios to me personally.
Okay, so maybe that's something else Kevin should think about, is maybe also tweaking his own bio and his own profile to improve his results. And yeah, and I definitely come down more on the Francesca side of it, of maybe just swipe on a few more people that you normally wouldn't swipe on, as opposed to swiping on everybody, because you would never give that advice for somebody who was looking for a job of, well, just apply for every job and then see if anybody calls you. That, you know, that's not a recipe for success. And I don't think that this is either.
And if you swipe on everybody, you won't get blocked and won't be in jail for a week. So I wouldn't suggest swiping on everybody, Kevin. So I, take your time, boo. She's out there.
Okay. So we have a couple of questions here. I like when we get into some themes here on this show. And so let's get it. Let's have a segment now. And let's start this off with Julio, who wants to date older guys, but he has some concerns. So Julio writes in and says, "Dear Rob, Steven, and Bryce, I'm Julio. I'm 23 and I'm gay. I'm new to the dating world, and I didn't date at all in high school, and I struggled to find dates in my adult life. I've been trying some dating apps to try and find somebody. I've met some guys here and there, but one thing I noticed is that most of the guys I'm attracted to have been older, middle-aged men. I know I'm attracted to older guys for a while, but when I picture myself in a relationship, I always imagine myself I'd be with someone around my own age, and now I'm putting myself out there. I'm mostly interested in these older men. Some of the guys that I talk to are either divorced, have kids, or both, so I'm worried what my family would think of me bringing home some old guy. How should I proceed trying to meet someone if most of the guys I'm attracted to are all older? And if I do end up dating one of these older guys, how do you make a relationship with an age gap work?"
That's a good one, Julio.
Yeah.
So I am definitely one to think that, like, you know, Aaliyah said it best, age ain't nothing but a number. So, I mean, if you're attracted to who you're attracted to now, you 23, you talking to these 50 and 60 year olds, that sounds like something else. But I definitely think somebody in their 20s could be with someone their 30s, early 40s. And I definitely think you shouldn't be that concerned. If you fall in love with someone that has a child, like, I don't think that you should worry so much about as to what your family would think, as to more so like the type of relationship that you are currently building with that person. Like, you know, you need to be aware of like these older guys that like to prey on these younger boys or younger women. So I think that you need to be careful on that. But I mean, you are attracted to what you're attracted to. And if you're on these sites and these apps, then maybe you need to like up your age range as far as like maybe dating someone like 25 to maybe like 40. So that way you're not getting all of these older guys, but you're getting someone more mature. I don't think anything's wrong with you dating somebody a little more mature. I mean, it happens all the time in Hollywood. So, I mean, I definitely think it's, you like who you like, and like, you know, you have to be comfortable with the relationship, you personally, before you open it up to your family. So I don't think like your family should be a concern when you're just getting to know someone, as opposed to when it kind of leads to more serious things.
Bryce, what do you think that part of this could be the fact that Julio, he's 23, he hasn't dated a lot, and he's looking for somebody who is maybe older, who might be more of a Obi-Wan Kenobi in terms of the dating scene?
I mean, possibly, but then it's like that also is going to backfire, because it's like then when you get more experience, you may not want to be exactly with this older person. I mean, or it could be another issue. A lot of the times that I see with my friends personally, that like a lot of my girlfriends that go for older guys, there's generally, again, everything is underlying. So there's always something underlying in like the people that you go after, why you go after. And I don't know, maybe there's like Julio has issues with his father. Maybe he didn't have, you know, there could be absentee things in his life that he's looking looking for something older. But so, I mean, I don't know. But you just have to be careful when, like, you're so inexperienced and then you go for, like, this older guy that knows everything and then you kind of feel like you're being taken advantage of, Julio. So I definitely think you need to come down a little bit more and closer to your age. But again, I am on the side of, like, you love who you love and you're attracted to who you're attracted to. So I just think you need to continue to tread the waters lightly, Julio. But closer maybe in your age would just be a little better for you, just experience wise. And I can relate to Julio, and I'm just curious, anybody else out there, when I am on these like apps and I'm like reading these profiles, like, so I definitely can relate to Julio. It's like when I look at these photos in my mind, I'm like picturing my life with that person. I know that might sound crazy and weird, but I'm like, oh, I could see us going on a vacation. I could see us walking the dog. Like, it's so weird. Like, I can't help but to do that with, like, every person that, like, I swipe with, because it's, to me, it's, like, so intimate, because I'm like, could I seriously date this person? So I can so relate to that when I'm swiping. I literally am, like, looking at their photos and seeing, like, oh, can I bring him home to Thanksgiving? And so I don't know if that's, like, the best thing to do, but that is something that I kind of, in the back of my mind, I noticed myself doing that a lot. Like, what would I get this person for Christmas? Let me read their bio. Like, you know, seriously, like, so.
No, I'm all about that. I mean, that I have said on a previous podcast that, like, it really changed my whole attitude and perspective on dating when I realized that I should only date people who I could really imagine myself ending up with. I just think that given that Julio says he's so new to the dating world, I worry, you know, I think there is some balance between saying, you know, I've dated a lot, I really can now conceive of myself settling down, versus I'm just like entering this whole new world of experience. And like, yeah, like, why not have an Obi-Wan in your life? Who doesn't want an Obi-Wan?
Okay. Yes. I was going to say, or Anderson Cooper. But
I was going to say, or Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
Bryce, do you have an age range of that you would date? Like, do you have a, okay, I'm not going to go past this number?
So I do. I feel like where I'm at, like in my 30s, is like 25 to 43.
And is that a rolling, like next year, will it be till 44?
No, it's going to stay at 43. But no, like that's just my general age scope. Like I don't want to go too much younger. I don't want to go too much older. Like I'm kind of in the boat with Julio, like where I would conceivably want my partner around the same age as me. I would want to experience new things with my partner. I would want to, like, you know, hopefully in the future have children. So I don't want somebody that's too old, and I don't want someone that's too younger and hasn't experienced the same things in life. But I am open. I feel like in life you have to be open. So I am open with dipping it a little low and reaching a little higher. So I feel like my age range is, like, you know, perfect.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard about the half plus seven? I heard about this recently.
Yes, I believe I heard it from Barney Stinson. But the what the lowest age?
It's a very Barney Stinson idea.
Yeah, that the lowest age you could date is half your age plus seven.
Let me get my calculator out real quick. I just want to see if my age reigns.
Yeah. Let's actually hold that thought for we'll get to that. We'll get back to that in a minute. But I feel like for Julio, if he wants to date older guys, then, you know, have at it. He's 23. If that's what he likes, then don't worry about what your family is going to think. Just go out there, and maybe it's a phase. Maybe you grow out of it. I think he's got nothing to worry about. But Stephen, what about our next email?
All right, the next email, Darius just wants to date younger guys, but has concerns. Oh my gosh, we could have a love connection here.
Yes.
Darius and Julio. I am a 33-year-old gay man that did not start coming out and dating until a little over 5 years ago. Ever since I started dating, I've primarily been attracted to younger guys. In fact, the closest in age any of my relationships has been was 7 years younger than me. My last boyfriend was just 18. Unfortunately, this has caused people in my community to talk. Whether it is a lighthearted joke or malicious gossip, people don't seem to approve of my dating preferences. I really wish I could find someone closer to my age that I could be attracted to and have chemistry with, but it just hasn't happened. What should I do?
This is the opposite of the last question, Bryce.
Yes. I definitely would probably be one of his friends in his circle if he kept coming around with 18-year-olds. Like, I don't think 33 and 18 is an appropriate age gap if you're looking for someone serious. But again, like if you are just casually dating, then I mean, 18 is fine, but I really feel like the same rules apply. Like, I feel like you can go a little younger, but what are you ultimately looking for? Like, I mean, because what you're going to find in an 18-year-old isn't probably something you're going to find in someone 30. Not saying that clearly he's not out there trying to find people, but I feel like sometimes with, in this day and age, it's so easy to just sit at home in your bed and swipe, but like you forget that there's like so much life out there. Like, go out into like your gay community, go to a local bar, go to an art show, go to an event. Like, you'd be so surprised as to like how many people in your own age community and bracket are out there, but like you're at home swiping. And so I think it's important for us to remember that everyone's not on these dating apps, and like there's a whole world out there, and which I like have to remind myself of this a lot of times. It's like you have to put yourself out there. And although we think it's like, oh, I posted a photo on Tinder and Bumble and I'm putting my, that's like, I mean, that's kind of putting yourself out there, but you need to go and experience life and go out with your friends, and you never know who you're going to meet. Like, I've met, so like my last partner that I was with, like I met him out and it was like, didn't want to go out that night. I got dragged out, and then like I really met a connection and like somebody that I deeply care about. So I think it's important, especially when you are a gay of a certain age, that it's important for you to put yourself out there and not just on these apps. Like, there is way more to life than these apps. You got to get out. You have to like explore in your community and see what's out there, and you'll be surprised who you meet and like what you can do by starting a conversation with somebody. Like, you know how easy it is and to go up to somebody and say, hey, how are you, and give somebody a compliment. Like, but nobody wants to do that. Like, they think just swiping right is like the only way to meet somebody nowadays. And I think it's so important for you to go out there, say, go out there and tell somebody they got nice shoes on and see where that conversation leads.
Yeah.
Darius's half plus seven is 23.
Yeah.
Which is how old, that's how old Julio is.
Yes.
I'm not going to get past this.
Okay. So what should Darius do in the case of these 18-year-olds? Do you think he needs to cut this out, Bryce?
It depends on what he's looking for. If he's looking for, like, a long-term serious relationship, I think he needs to go to his settings on his Tinder and put that age up to, what you say, Steven, 23?
Yeah.
So he needs to put it up to 23.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe he can find 23 that looks younger.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you think that any of this could be because that it was so long before Darius came out that he feels like, oh, I didn't get a chance to really be out there as a younger person, and I'm trying to recapture that, Bryce?
I mean, that possibly can be it. And I know, like, when we're like looking for dates, we like, I, you know, people tend to always go for younger, but I feel like you need to appreciate where you are in life, because when you look back 10 years, you'll be like, damn, I was still young and fine. So you got to be so current and so now in your life. So, I mean, I definitely think that could possibly be it. He's still new and he wants like the young, cute little thing. But I mean, you get a little middle-aged, cute little thing too. They out there too. So I think there's somebody for everybody, but, I definitely could see his attraction to younger people. But I mean, are you just out there casually dating, or are you seriously looking for a real relationship? Are you looking for somebody that you can come and cook dinner to? Or are you looking for somebody that you have to give your ID at the door when you go to their dorm to watch Netflix? Like, you got to think about what you're looking for in life.
Right. And that is hard also to be somebody in your 30s and then you can't even like go to a bar with your date because they can't get in.
Right.
A lot. It's a lot, Bryce.
It's a lot.
Okay. Bruno is a guy who keeps hearing about a lack of chemistry. Rob, Steven, and Bryce, help. Lately, I've been in a bit of a dating rut. While I haven't had too much trouble meeting girls on swipe apps and having successful first dates, I've been struggling to get to the next phase of a relationship. Usually around the third date or so, the girl I'm seeing will start to become more distant and eventually will break things off and telling me something along the lines of, I don't feel a romantic connection. I was wondering if you guys have any advice on how to build romantic chemistry early on in the dating process, or do I need to just keep going on date after date until I find the right one? Dating has been frustrating for me because I'm 32, and as corny as it may sound, I feel like I have a lot to offer, and I really just want to fall in love and start a family. Thanks for any advice that you have, Bruno.
It seems like Bruno might be putting a little too much out there. You know, to say I really want to fall in love and start a family, you know, I wonder how much he's given off of that in those first three dates. Three dates actually seems like the appropriate amount of time to kind of assess someone and decide that you whether or not you're interested in them.
Yeah, so you think he's scaring them, Stephen?
I wonder. You know, I do wonder. I feel like we had a discussion with Natalie about, you know, how much to hold back, right? And I wonder, maybe Bruno needs to listen to that podcast. Well, what do you think, Bryce? How do you build that romantic chemistry in those first few dates?
I definitely think it's taking it back to like one of the first questions that we had. It's like, you need to build a foundation. And as like lame as it sounds, it's like, I really think like a couple of weeks, 3-4 weeks of like talking to someone that you just met on an app is the perfect amount of time to really kind of get to know somebody. And like, I really feel like there's chemistry even between texting. And so I really feel like if you do scale it back a little bit, not be so hyped to meet someone and really kind of forage on working on getting to know this person's schedule, getting to know this person. I feel like when you finally meet up with them, I really feel like there's more of a chance for chemistry. I also really think he needs to scratch whatever his idea of the first three dates are and go back to the drawing board, because it seems like he's doing the same three dates and they ended up not working out. So I'm not sure what his scenario is like dinner or a movie, but he needs to think outside of the box and be more into his personality. Like, if that person's a runner, go for a run with that person. Like, you know, just not the normal standard dates. I really feel like from what I read, the vibe, the mess that I'm seeing on this floor that I'm about to mop, I really am seeing like he's like those serious like let's meet up for dates and like, you know, that I think he needs to get out of that rut and really show more of his personality. I feel like when he's going on these dates, he's just submitting again his application to Indeed, and it's that standard, I'm looking for love, I'm in my 30s and I want a family, like, and you can smell that on somebody, like, and I feel like Steven said, he's reeking of it. So a little less serious on these dates, a little more time getting to know the person, to actually, while you're in a time of texting someone, I think it's appropriate to ask like, what are you looking for, and like, not necessarily what we're looking for, but to get to know that person, and then go out and do something, not the regular old three dates that you're doing. You need to get rid of them, bury them, don't use them no more, because we're going to get you some love, but you have to think outside of the box and do different things.
Can I give a piece of pragmatic advice that I feel like that might help? Which is that, this might sound crazy, but move around within a date. Like, in a given date, like, go to multiple places. Like, move from one bar to another bar, you know, start at a bar, go to dinner, because just that level of kind of going somewhere together, you know, being in multiple places, it gives a sense of connection and like, oh, we've done a lot of like interesting, fun things together, you know, and it also keeps things light. So you're not just, you know, sitting across a dinner table, you know, confessing yourselves to each other.
Absolutely. And it's like the little things and going between bars and like different places, like you opening the door for her or getting a taxi. Like, it's those little interactions that people tend to see something in you that you don't even know about, but you think what you're giving at this dinner table is everything, but you just interacting like, so come on, Steven. That's perfect. Yes, I love that. That's like, I so agree with that.
It also like makes you feel like you have like more of a history with this person, because like, you've been on all these crazy adventures, even though you've only gone out twice.
And listen, this is three dates right there. And so the next day is the fourth one. So he's over the rut. So yeah, I like this.
Yeah, I think it's also just important to consider what services you're on here. That I feel like that if you are somebody who's looking to settle down and start a family, maybe Tinder is not the right way to go. Maybe you want to consider something that is more of a service like a Match or something like that. That'll help people that are looking to settle down.
Christian Mingle.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Jane is trying to find a spark with her husband. Hi, I'm Jane F., and in a marriage of 12 years. We have two active, competitive, sporty kids, and I love every moment of those kids. A year ago, I finally got my MBA degree to better my job and our life, with a plan to find a job and allow him to stop working nights, which he has been doing for 12 years. But I haven't found that job yet. My current job is very demanding. However, I continue to work and allow him to sleep as much as possible without asking anything in return. Housekeeping, household finances, daily chores, running kids around to activities, etc. I do this because he says the older he gets, the harder it is for him to work nights. Of note, it is important for him to be sharp and aware during work because of the risk involved. So over the last 2 years, the work between my job, MBA work, household work, and kids, honestly, I have let my weight go unchecked. I've gained a lot of weight. Coincidentally, our sex life has decreased tremendously and in fact is non-existent. We have been intimate 4 times in 2 years.
It's not a lot, Bryce.
For intimacy, I set up child watching and dates for us to be alone and try to set a mood, spontaneously and planned, but nothing happens. I confronted him recently, but he said it is him. He's getting older. His body doesn't function like that anymore. Certainly not my weight gain, he says, and gets angry as hell when I mention the weight gain. We are in our early 40s. Yes, life is stressful. Yes, life gets busy and in the way. But I'm living with a roommate, not a husband at this point. Our life together is watching Breaking Bad, Survivor, or a documentary during a few evenings alone. How do I make this better? Is it me or is it truly him? Is it him because he's seeing someone else and I'm completely oblivious? Or is it because I'm fat now and he can't deal with it? Hell, maybe it is because he has low T and I'm just being a selfish, paranoid woman. Your thoughts? Thank you. Love you. Listen to you always.
Okay. Jane has a lot of things going on, Bryce.
I want to be thoughtful in my response to Jane, but I also want to treat Jane like she's one of my good girlfriends. Not my daughter, yes, but a good girlfriend. So I noticed in her email, she talked about her weight a lot. And so whether it's an issue for him, clearly to me, that signifies it's an issue with her. So, number one, I'm all about being petty to yourself. Like, yes, you have children. Yes, you're in a marriage. But also, I find that a lot of my friends that have been in relationships for a long time, that are married with kids, they forget about themselves. And I think sometimes it's important, especially you being a mom, you're working so hard, you're getting your master's. Like, you need to work on yourself. And I think if weight is an issue for you, then maybe you need to work on your weight a little bit just so that you feel confident in yourself. That's just number one, because I'm all about being selfish to yourself. Like, you have to put yourself first, because if you don't, nobody else will. So you have to feel highly about yourself, because you give off a lot of things that you don't realize. And so I think that could be one of the things. And also, like, I mean, again, like she said, it's a roommate. That's not your husband. And I can't speak from experience because I haven't been in a relationship for 12 years. But I would imagine it. And speaking to my friends, like, it does get a little dry. It do get a little Sierra Desert out there. So you got to change the location. You need to get to the tropical rainforest whenever that you can. I'm sorry. 4 times in a year, y'all not having sex.
4 times in 2 years, Bryce.
And this is when I'm talking to you like a good girlfriend. Like, men are horny beings. Like, men are like, yeah, sexual beings. So that's a red flag on the play. Like, that's kind of concerning to me. Like, are you stepping out on our relationship? Like, that's where my mind goes to. Maybe I'm just not, like, I've just seen a lot, but that's where my mind goes to. But if that's truly not the issue, then I really feel like it's important for you guys to figure that out. And I don't know how that conversation needs to come up, but if you're not getting what you want in a relationship, in a marriage, like, you need to speak on it and, like, bring it up at an appropriate time. But I definitely think there's a lot of other things that are going on that you need to get your judge back, girl. You need to figure out what makes you happy, because when he sees that spark in you, hopefully it'll spark something else, and hopefully we can increase this from twice every 2 years to we're getting it a little bit more on a regular basis. But I definitely think it starts with you and kind of working on yourself and really having an open and honest conversation with your husband.
See, that I think that the idea that he is being unfaithful or is putting, you know, his sexual desire into someone else, I don't know if I'm necessarily buying that, because it seems like that she is willing. And, you know, that maybe he, you know, there isn't the same attraction that there once was here. But I wonder if maybe she's onto something with the fact when he talks about how his body doesn't work the way that it used to. I wonder maybe that if there could be some sort of other physical issue going on here with him. And so that is potentially causing the lack of physical intimacy, whether it's low testosterone or some other issue. And I'm not Dr. Mike here. I think that maybe we might be onto something in that department, Stephen.
What about just exhaustion? You know, I mean, it sounds like both Jane and her husband are, you know, run ragged by their daily lives. I mean, isn't there anything to just the idea that, you know, they're just too tuckered
out? Sure, sure. You could be a little tired, but
she not that tired. She's still
2 years, four times in 2 years. Nobody's that tired, Stephen. I've never been that tired.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, but so she's asking, you know, she is apparently bringing this subject up with him, and he's kind of denying her, right? Like, how does she have that conversation with him in a way where, you know, she's very straightforward about what she needs, but also, you know, you can never insist that someone have sex with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that maybe they need to have a conversation that is about, you know, what is the actual problem there? Because she also talks about how when she brings up the weight gain, she says that he gets angry when she brings that up. And I wonder if that's maybe sort of trying to guess, but maybe it's like, no, it's definitely not that. And he doesn't want her beating herself up over this. Maybe it's just an issue, and it's an embarrassing issue that maybe he doesn't really want to talk about. And that's where the disconnect is coming from.
And that's why I say, put yourself first. You need to work on yourself. Like, you know, you need to get yourself and your mind and your body at the place that you want it. And again, maybe you need to bring up these questions of if your body isn't working properly. Well, you know, a lot of men are prideful, and a lot of men don't want to accept the fact that, like, your body changes. Different things don't pop the way they used to pop. So maybe, you know, talking about seeing a doctor, Mike, or maybe talking about getting some Tic Tacs in your life and seeing what that does. And, like, you know, being open. I find that a lot of my friends in these type of subjects, they get, like, so scared and don't want to bring up uncomfortable subjects like this to their mates. But I feel like there's a time and a place for everything. And when you guys are having, like, maybe a date night and you over some cocktails, like, casually bring it up and really kind of see where his mind is at with that, and maybe take the initiative, but, like, you know, talking about seeing somebody, maybe it can be fixed and make, like, you know what I mean, like, 40 is not over the hill. 40 is still young and popping. So, like, girl, that so there are things, and I think it's all about how you go about it. But again, I go back to being petty to yourself and working on yourself. And if your weight is an issue for yourself, then work on it, sister, you know, and then see where that goes. And you might be feeling more good about yourself, and your energy might go up, and that's going to spark his interest. Like, oh, she going to hot yoga on Saturday. Like, you know what I mean? You never really know. So I really think they definitely need to have a conversation. She definitely needs to put more time into herself and more time into their relationship. A little couple's getaway for the weekend, send the kids to mom and dad's house, and see where that takes you.
Okay. Is Tic Tacs is Viagra?
I would assume, maybe, possibly.
I thought maybe she had bad breath.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Steven, get him.
I don't know about this. Steven knew about it. Yeah.
Yeah, he knew exactly what it was.
Yes. Okay. Let's take this question from Ashley. And she is wondering if she is experienced enough to settle down. This is a question she writes in. Hi, Love Know-It-Alls. First off, I'd like to say this podcast has been a great treat to listen to each week and get everyone's perspective about love and dating. So Ashley is 23 and her partner is 25, and they've been together for 5 years since her sophomore year in college. They fell for each other hard and fast, and like most lesbian couples do, it hasn't been the perfect relationship. They've worked through a lot of struggles and talked about a future and having kids. However, she is what you would consider a gold star lesbian. She is a lesbian who has never had sex with a guy. And while her partner has had sex with a guy once, they both embraced their sexuality in college, but she's actually the only person that she's ever been with. So her freshman year, she made out with a lot of guys, but it never went beyond kissing. And she really doesn't like labels, but for her, she fell in love with the personalities, and she thinks that she's capable of being with either a man or woman in the future. Sometimes my partner will make remarks that one day I'm going to regret my decision of her being the only person I've been with, mainly that I am going to want to have sex with a guy since I never experienced it before. My question is, she's the only person I've ever been with, and while I don't have any regrets about hooking up more in college or hesitations now about our relationship. Do you think it's possible to spend your life with the first person you had sex with? As more years go on and her bringing it up every so often, is that just her being insecure or hinting something more about the future of our relationship? Sorry for the long email, but I'd love to know your thoughts.
I mean, if she doesn't have regrets about not having, you know, had sex with anybody else, like it's, you know, a little, there's no reason you have to have regrets about not having had more sex.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. And I also feel like in this day and age, you know, maybe I'm a little more progressive, but I mean, sometimes if you feel like your partner is the partner that you want to spend the rest of your life with, Ashley, but you have regrets, or maybe you and your partner can talk about this and maybe you can bring a unicorn into the relationship and see where that goes. I know a lot of couples.
Wait, what's
that
a
do
unicorn?
That. I believe a unicorn is that like a third person brought into the relationship. That's kind of like, you use the term unicorn because it's not like,
it's a rare thing.
Correct. So, and maybe that way it can possibly feel your desire. You're still with your partner. That is super, super progressive. And I know some people might be like, "Ooh, good. Is he talking about a threesome?" But I mean, and I don't want to like have people turn their nose up at me. But I mean, this is the day and age that we're in that like people are way more explorative. And first of all, your relationship is what you make it. And a lot of the times we as, in homosexual relationships, we try to conform to heterosexual standards. And I feel like if you and your partner are open and you, maybe this is something that you guys can experience together, and that way there aren't any regrets. Or, I mean, that's one of my solutions. Or my other solution is that your partner is maybe hinting at that you guys need a break, and maybe that you need to explore more in your life. And if you guys are meant to be, you guys will explore and possibly come back. Or if you don't really feel like that's appropriate, then maybe you guys need to talk about other possibilities that aren't maybe the general rules of relationships, but the relationship is what you two guys make of it that you guys feel comfortable about.
You know, it's funny. I interpreted that totally differently. I heard her partner being really committed to the relationship and scared that, you know, Ashley would at some point feel like the partner wasn't enough.
So, and that's what I heard that as well too. But if you have a partner that's constantly saying that to you, they're going to push you to that. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, Either we're going to have a conversation about that, or you keep saying that is going to make me want to go jump on something. So we need to like get to the root of why you're so insecure about that. So that's kind of why I bring up the situation of the unicorn, or bringing up like, I don't know. It's so funny because I'm getting this from the Netflix series, Grace and Frankie, the last season. Like the two husbands, they were kind of in this similar situation. And maybe it's not necessarily like sex that the unicorn brings, but like something that like sparks something in your own relationship. That's just what I'm picturing it from Frankie and Grace. But if that partner continues to bring that up, then that, like, it's almost as if like she's going to push Ashley to that. And I don't want them to do that, but I think that they need to have a conversation about where the root of the girlfriend that's coming from and talk about it.
Yeah.
It does seem like that's happening. I mean, Ashley feels totally content, and she's, you know, she's only writing in because her partner is basically convincing her that maybe she needs it. I mean, this is why, you know, sometimes we should keep our insecurities to ourselves, because you really can like end up talking someone into believing something about themselves that wasn't even really true.
I think that maybe the partner could potentially be projecting that she is open to other ideas in terms of their relationship. And it doesn't sound like this is even a little bit of a concern for Ashley. And, you know, Bryce, is this a thing that you've ever heard of, that in a gay relationship, will somebody say like, "Hey, like, if you've never had sex with a woman, like, you got to get out there and try it, because believe me,
we talking salmon now." So I don't know about to that extreme, but I do know that a lot of times in homosexual relationships, like, especially for, again, I can only speak for men because I'm not a lesbian, but, we put ourselves in like these heterosexual normal roles that like all our relationship itself is just not meant to fit in it. And so you ultimately set yourself up for issues because you're setting yourself up for standards that you're not meant for. And I'm not saying bring someone else into your relationship, but I'm just saying maybe a different way of going about things, or even just bringing up the conversation, might spark something at Ashley's partner. They'll be like, "Oh, I don't ever want you with a guy." And then maybe Ashley will be like, "Well, I don't ever want to be with if God want to be with you and that, then that dialogue changes to something else. But I think it's important to be open to have these conversations with your partner, because clearly Ashley's partner continues to bring it up. And so maybe Ashley addressing it will completely like maybe turn on her partner or completely turn off her partner. And then maybe they can go from there. But at least it opens up the avenue to figuring out where they need to go, because currently down this path, Ashley's partner won't push her on to somebody else. And then that's not going to be good for either one of them.
Okay.
I mean, it's fine, right? That for Ashley, that she's, you know, only been with one person, you know, for probably
if she's
hundreds
happy,
or thousands of years. That's how most people did it. I mean, we have different sexual mores and values now societally, but there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. No, if you're in love, you're in love. I think more of this issue is for Ashley's partner, not Ashley. I think Ashley is perfectly content. And I definitely believe that you can fall in love and only be with one person and be the happiest person on the earth. And I think maybe even sometimes clearly that scares people. Like, and clearly it's scaring Ashley's partner to the point where it's like, you just can't be happy with me. Like, you know what I mean? And again, here comes her insecurities blossoming like a spring flower. And Ashley just like, I'm chilled. So definitely. And I think that there are people out there like that, but it's a lot for somebody else. And so I think it's important to have that conversation. And I think the root of what I'm trying to say about is having the conversation and talking about it and being open and being, it's the difference between having a conversation and being open to what your partner is going to say. And I can speak from experience with that, because I've brought up completely different subjects, but things that I was maybe nervous about with my partner, and like I will bring it up, but I only will want to hear one thing. So if I brought something up that was uncomfortable for me and my partner didn't say the one thing that I was wanted to hear, it was a problem. And so I know that I actually had to learn to, like, if I'm actually going to ask this question, I have to be open, willing, and ready to hear what my partner is going to say, even if it's not what I want him to say. And I think that once I was able to get past that point and to hear where he was coming from, we were like so able to move forward. And I was actually able to like hear his concerns and what he thought about the situation. And we were able to actually move forward. And I actually kind of thought it brought us closer.
That's awesome. I'm definitely working on that.
All right, and then real quick, a follow-up from last week's show. This is from one of our listeners. Hey, Rob and Steven, I'm really enjoying the Love Know-It-Alls and hearing all the questions and your discussion / advice. In the last podcast, you had a question that she can weigh in on. In the last podcast, you had a question that I can weigh in on. You wondered if an older woman is still called a cougar if she is a lesbian. Bryce, do you have a guess on this?
No, I think, isn't it like a jaguar?
Well, that our listener writes in, she says, I am a lesbian and I had a relationship with someone who was 9 years older than me, and my friends definitely jokingly referred to her as a cougar. So yes, in my anecdotal experience, the term can still apply.
There we go.
Boom.
One thing I'd like to add, though, and I think that this actually fits in very well with what we've talked about this week, large age discrepancies are not uncommon in the gay and lesbian dating world for a couple of reasons. One, it's a smaller dating pool, so being more flexible on age range can open up a lot more opportunities. And two, some believe because we're already defying societal norms by selecting a partner of the same sex, we're more likely to be open-minded when it comes to other traits, like age being one of them. So while the term fits, it's common enough phenomenon, and it's usually fairly tongue-in-cheek. Anyway, love the show. Can't wait to hear the episode with Bryce. Bryce, do you buy that the age discrepancies in a gay relationship can vary more because it's a smaller dating pool?
I don't know that it's a smaller dating pool, but I definitely agree with the fact that we're not built for the same type of standards that we are. Absolutely. So, I mean, I definitely think that it definitely can go that way. I just don't think two, like you 55 dating an 18-year-old, but I definitely think you can go a little older or a little younger. And it kind of all fits into what I was saying before, that like, a homosexual relationship does not fit the same standards as a heterosexual relationship. So we have to look at it outside the box, and just be open to what you and your partner or whoever you're talking to bring and what you guys are willing to make work. It's super important. So yeah, so I agree with that statement. Yes, it's a yes.
Okay.
When I was at Logo, as some people listening may know, I used to be an executive at Logo. And one of the things that I did was I oversaw our network of blogs, and we produced this video called What Younger Gay Men Really Think About Older Guys and Vice Versa, where we interviewed a number of young gay guys and a number of older gay guys and asked them about their opinions of intergenerational dating. And if you're interested in hearing more, it's a great video. I would highly recommend it. It's called What Younger Gay Men Really Think About Older Guys, and it's on YouTube.
Millennials versus Gen X?
Yeah, exactly.
Logo style. I didn't know you used to work at Logo. I love Logo, Steven.
Yes, and it was when Drag Race was on the channel. I worked at Logo and MTV too. Yeah.
The original home.
Home.
Exactly. Logo, yeah. Drag Race has since migrated to VH1.
Bryce, do you get a lot of advice questions or anything like that in terms of people who are maybe that they look at you as a resource from the fans of Survivor?
Coincidentally enough, no, I don't really get a lot of dating questions from like the fans. I get a lot of dating questions or like advice questions from like the castaways.
Oh.
like dating advice questions or
not dating advice. Or just more my opinion in regards to like they're currently dating someone. What do I think? Like I like four or five people like randomly always just hit me up like, can I ask you a question? I'm like, sure. I didn't know I was the beacon of lover, but you know when you're the janitor of love, people they all there's messes to be cleaned up. So it's funny. So I get a lot of texts and phone calls from castaways.
Okay. All right. Well. Thank you so much. Hashtag Janitor Bryce. Are you good with that? That's good?
Yeah, Janitor of Love, baby.
Janitor, like janitor hashtag of love. Janitor of Love. And thank you for coming in and helping us. I don't know if we had cleaned up any messes, but we talked through a bunch of stuff.
Definitely. We didn't maybe prevent anything, but we definitely put some yellow caution signs down and stopped a couple of people from slipping and falling.
Yes, we put cones up and hopefully nobody ends up falling down. Steven, of course, if people want to write in with their questions, KIA@robhasawebsite.com, or they could leave us a voicemail, robhasawebsite.com/voicemail as well. And we'll be back next week to talk about more dating and relationship questions.
How exciting.
Very exciting. Okay. Of course, if you want to follow the Purple Pants Badass, he is on social media at Bryce Isaiah. And of course, that he will be covered in champagne by Sunday night. Right, Bryce?
You already know. I can't wait.
Yes.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Bryce. Yeah. Steven, anything else you want to get out there?
No. Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm good. This was great.
Okay, I had so much fun with Bryce. We'll be back next week with more Love Know-It-Alls. We will play you out with the sweet sounds of the great Will from America here on the Love Know-It-Alls.
The hottest hunks around,
the hottest hunks
are about to go to town like they've done the deed a million times.
Well, actually, they never really get laid at all.
They're gonna blow you away.
What'd you think of that, Bryce?
That's a jam. I could take a bath to that.